Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated to get his thoughts on some of the top stories happening in the NFL. And we're going to have him on until the Chiefs figure out what they're going to do at wide receiver. Matt, happy to have you on here. Let's just start with this. You and I imagine we are on the same page. I don't think the Chiefs need to go out and trade for Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave or Tyreek Hill, but just based on how the room has had so much attrition over the course of the last 3 weeks, the Chiefs have to do something at wide receiver, right?
Yes. I think at this point, whether Brett Veach wants to admit it to himself or not, I would imagine he has, they don't have enough. Now, we saw last year they could win the Super Bowl with you and me and somebody from the grocery store playing receiver, and they might be able to figure it out. But there's no margin for error. And, you know, with Juju now dealing with a hamstring, and look, we're not sure how long-term it's going to be, but let's be real. If you're ruled out on a Monday, it's probably going to be more than 1 week. They need to figure this out. You can't have 33 snaps from Sky Moore. You just can't. It's untenable. You're playing 11 on 10. So I think if you're the Chiefs, does it have to be DeAndre Hopkins? No. You know, but I think Deontay Johnson makes sense. I think Darius Slayton makes sense. I will say this. It doesn't have to be a superstar addition. It doesn't have to be Cooper Kupp, which has been talked about, of course, today. It cannot be DeMarcus Robinson. And I don't mean that as a slam on Robinson. I just mean it can't be somebody of Robinson's caliber where you add the guy and just go, okay, we're done now. That doesn't move the needle an ounce. Like, they need to actually go out and acquire somebody who can be at least a second option in the offense.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam, going through some of the wide receiver names that are out there, and we'll get to the top stories as well. All right, let's talk about Cooper Kupp, because Diana Rossini put that report out there earlier today. I don't have much interest in Cooper Kupp. Sure, he was a great player in 2021, but if you're telling me he's worth a second-round pick for a guy who hasn't been healthy in any of the last three seasons, that's just not a player that, to me, makes a lot of sense to justify the cost, and I'm just not sure if he's going to be healthy enough to really help the Chiefs when they need him most.
I would be very surprised if the Chiefs trade for Cooper Kupp. He's 31 years old this year. His base salary for the whole year this year is $15 million. Obviously, prorate that. Next year, it's $12.5 million. The year after that, it's $14.8 million. Now, those aren't huge numbers, but they're significant. And you would want the Rams to eat a lot of that. Now, I understand the Rams, according to Diana's reporting, say, well, they would eat some of that. And that's fine. But since the start of 2022, Cooper Kupp has played in 23 games. He has missed 17 other games. So you're not, to me, you're not trading for a guy who's reliable. You're not trading for a guy who's young. And you can't, because of those things, give up anything more than a fourth-round pick. There's no way I would give them a day two pick. I wouldn't give them a third round pick. I mean, unless they're literally willing to eat his entire contract. And it's just, hey, you're getting him for the minimum. Okay, maybe I'd give him, you know, the Chiefs third rounder. But if the Chiefs have to pay any kind of real money, yeah, I'm giving them a fourth round pick. And I don't even know if I do that. Like, my question, if they did the trade for Kupp, then why didn't you just trade for Amari Cooper, who's making 1.2 in base this year, and is not as old as Kupp, and I could argue is better. It's like, I don't understand the thought process as to why the Chiefs would go get Kupp, but then not go out and get Cooper, who would have made more sense, and they could have outbid the Bills either with their own third-round pick or Tennessee's third-round pick.
Matt, would you be more interested in DeMarcus Robinson or Darius Slayton?
Slayton, by a mile. Not even close. Slayton's a real receiver. That I think moves the needle. Look, he's not great, but he's had pretty much on average 750 yards each of the last few years. He's doing that with Daniel Jones. I think that guy could have 1,000 yards in an offense with Mahomes. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, he's not going to do that in eight games, but like over the course of 17-game season, I think he could have 900,000 yards. He's a much better player. Listen, DeMarcus Robinson is useful. I don't want it to come off like I don't think he can help at all. But, like, let's be real. If they go get DeMarcus Robinson, they're getting DeMarcus Robinson because they know him. That's it. There's no other reason. Because there's 100 DeMarcus Robinsons they can go out and get. And so if they go get him, it's because they're sitting there saying he knows the offense, which I will say out front, that is the biggest waste of a line that the Chiefs always seem to kind of put out, this idea that, well, the guy's got to know the offense. You're a receiver. I mean, at some point, hey, go run a 9 route. Go run a 7 route. Go run. It's not a quarterback. You know, it's not the linebacker. It's not the middle linebacker calling the defense. We saw Drew Tranquil come in there a year ago in a much tougher spot when Bolton got hurt early in the year. Gets the green dot and says, hey, Drew, go get him. And it was fine. We saw Amari Cooper go 4 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown in Buffalo in his first game. Like, the idea that the Chiefs can't bring in somebody who doesn't implicitly know the scheme is just crazy.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam, going through some of the wide receiver options for the Chiefs. What do you think that Deontay Johnson would cost? I think it would cost your third-round pick. I'm not sure if it's Tennessee's third-round pick or the Chiefs' third-round pick. Is that about what you have his price range at?
Yeah, I have it as probably about the Chiefs giving up their own third and then maybe getting a seventh back. I think it'd be like a mid to early fourth-round value. I think it's about right. And I think if you're the Chiefs, listen, I mean, if it comes down to it, would you just give your third straight up for him? Yeah, you probably would. I don't think it would cost more than that. I don't think it would cost any less. I think that's the right price. Look, Johnson is 28. He's a really good player. You know, we've talked, Carrington, I have him as a 1B to a 1A of Cooper. Like, I think they're pretty similar type of players in terms of their impact. He would be a huge addition for them. And I just think if you're the Chiefs and you're looking at your team, you're looking at the roster, you know, you're going to get Amenihu back. Pacheco's going to come back. Juju at some point here is going to come back. Watson, it appears, is out for the year now. Maybe they get him back late in the playoffs. Hollywood Brown, you know, to my understanding, it's possible he comes back late in the year, for, you know, and then into the playoffs, but it's an unknown. You know, he's got a lot of rehab ahead of him. If you're them, though, you got to look at the rest of the roster and go, what are we doing if we don't upgrade at receiver? I mean, the rest of the team's so loaded. Even without Watson, I think the defense will figure it out, although he was playing great. Offensively, if you don't add a real receiver, you just make it so much harder on Mahomes and that offense to function against good teams.
One name that continues to pop up on the text line, and I don't have a good answer for this, and maybe you do have an answer for it. A lot of people ask about Hunter Renfrow. It is very telling to me that we are at Halloween. He's not on the NFL roster. Is he hurt? Why is Hunter Renfrow not in the league?
He just flat out was not good last year. I mean, to the point that I think most people feel like he's cooked. You know, if you look at Renfrow and you look at his numbers over the last handful of years, I mean, he's a guy who I think it's fair to say is probably at very best a fringe roster guy, which is why he's not signed. You know, it's weird because he's only 28 years old. But, you know, after having 1,000 yards in 2021 and being a Pro Bowler, he played 10 games in 2022. He had 330 yards. 2023, he played all 17 games. He had 255 yards. I think people just believe that he's kind of done. I don't know that I feel like he's done. I also don't know that he would make any meaningful difference for the Chiefs. But I also, you know, look, at some point here, they've got to be willing to shake this thing up. Because, look, it was unfortunate. You lost Brown for most, if not all, the year. You lost Rice for the year. You couldn't have seen that coming. But now you've got to adjust. And just sitting there playing Justin Watson and Sky Moore a whole bunch more, that's not the answer. And neither is playing Justin Ross or Nico Remigio, a bunch of fans asking me about those guys. Well, because they're not playing them for a reason. Because they don't think they're good enough to compete on the NFL level consistently. So you got to go out and get somebody. I don't think Renfrow does anything for him any more than some of the other guys we've talked about.
All right, last wide receiver question here, and I do want to go to some storylines. Three-part question here. Give me an unrealistic option for the Chiefs. That's them reuniting with Tyreek Hill. I would put that in the unrealistic option. Give me your best-case option. Give me your absolute worst-case option as we are exactly 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline.
Well, you took the unrealistic one. I mean, if I'm at least picking up the phone and calling Greer down in Miami and saying, hey, man, how's the first and a third sound? And just look, if he hangs up the phone, fine. But I'd try it. I would definitely, especially if they lose to Arizona this week. I mean, you got 2 games left for the trade deadline. Their 2 games are Arizona and Buffalo. Like, there's the world if Miami's 2-6. I'd call them and ask. I'd take a shot at it. But I agree with you. Look, it is highly improbable. Best case scenario, I think, is Deontay Johnson. I think he's the best guy out there. Hopkins is also, to me, a real weapon and a guy who could still play at 1,000 yards a year ago. And then, by the way, in that same vein, Christian Kirk is more interesting to me than a lot of people. Like, he's still fairly young, and he plays in their system. Jacksonville plays the same system with Peterson. So that would be a very interesting game. If they could get Jacksonville to take any of the salary, if I'm the Chiefs, like, I would be all in on trying to get Christian Kirk in the net. Worst case scenario, other than just doing nothing, I think would just be going and getting somebody who's a familiar face just because they're a familiar face. And again, I know that sounds like a shot at Robinson. It really isn't. I think he's a useful player. It's just like that, or if they, you know, if somehow they, you know, they decide to go find somebody else who maybe over the years has played, like if they bring in MBS, it just doesn't do anything. What does it do? You're not any better. You're going to play like a 60 snaps a game in a playoff game? Like, they've got to go get somebody who actually matters. And I don't think there's a familiar face out there other than Tyreek Hill that would move that needle.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated for a few minutes here. Let's get to some of the big picture NFL storylines here. Matt, there was a time in the first quarter of that game last night when Tampa Bay went up 10-0 that I was thinking, man, Tampa Bay is kind of good. Are they a sleeper in the Super Bowl? And then Mike Evans got hurt, and then Chris Godwin got hurt. And now I'm like, are they even going to make the postseason? Like, it was the most NFL swing of emotion that I can remember watching Tampa Bay last night.
I'm with you. At 10-0, you're sitting there going, man, they're rolling. And, you know, unfortunately and ironically, it all kind of turned simultaneously because they were up 10-7, and Mayfield throws a perfect pass to Evans in the back of the end zone. And it was a play Evans got hurt on. Hit him right in his hands. He couldn't hold on, probably because he was in pain. Drops the ball and has to leave. And now, you know, there are reports he's going to be out at least a month. And then, you know, they're down 10, and I know Todd Bowles has taken a lot of heat for this. Look, Chris Godwin's in the game. You could argue whether he should or he shouldn't have been, but he is, and he fractures his ankle, and he's, you know, he's done for the year now. And I'm with you. You look at them now and go, well, Atlanta's better, and Atlanta should win that division, and if they don't, something's wrong with Atlanta. And, you know, not to swing it back to Kansas City. Kansas City plays Tampa in 2 weeks. And you got Kansas City here at 6-0. They got the Raiders, the Bucks without Godwin and Evans, and Denver. I mean, you can't seem to be looking at 9-0 going to Buffalo, which would be one heck of a storyline. But yeah, the Buccaneers, really unfortunate. I was with you. I was excited about them.
Going through some of the other storylines, last night I'm watching it, and I don't know why. I had it in my mind that I was going to bet on Arizona all day. And I was talking to our boss, Steven Spector, and he's like, why are you going to bet against the team that's got the better coach and the better quarterback? And I sat there and I was thinking about it. I was like, man, you know what? You're right. And I flipped my pick. And then you know what happened? The Chargers morphed back into the Chargers. Man, it doesn't matter who their head coach is. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. It is in their blood. It is in their DNA. The Chargers will always charger.
I was sitting there watching that game, and about, I don't know, midway through the third quarter, I was like, they're going to lose this game. I don't know how they're going to lose it, but you can just see it coming. They can't score a touchdown. You know, that running game that was so vaunted earlier in the year, they can't run for a foot. You could just kind of see it coming. And, you know, once Arizona got the ball and only needed a field goal, you're like, yeah, they're probably going to get it, and they did. I've seen a lot of people talk about how the Chargers got to go get a receiver. And yes, look, their receiving talent is not good. It is not a good depth chart. It doesn't matter. They can't, like, yeah, sure, go get a receiver. I'm not even arguing that point, but Greg Roman doesn't want to throw the ball. And they're going to just check it down and check it down and check it down and check it because he and Harbaugh want to play like it's 1965. And you can do that. But what's going to happen when you play like that, you shrink the game, you don't get a big lead typically, and you end up in these games that could just go either way with 5 minutes left. And I don't care if you're the better team, when you leave a team in for that long, there are going to be some weeks it just goes against you for whatever the reason. And, yeah, the Chargers at 3-3, could they make the playoffs? Yeah, but the AFC West officially ended last night. I don't see any world the Chargers or the Broncos or certainly the Raiders are threatening Kansas City.
What if I had told you at the beginning of the season, hey, you know what, Chicago and Washington, that's going to be two of the better teams in the National Football League. It is crazy how things change in such a short period of time. I certainly hope that Jaden Daniels is able to go on Sunday because that matchup, just those two quarterbacks, number one, number two overall pick to emerging franchises. Washington-Chicago is one of the better games this weekend in the league.
Yeah, got flexed into the late window, and rightfully so. Williams has played well the last three games. You know, Washington sitting there atop the division. You know, it is an exciting time for those two franchises. I'm based outside Chicago, and people are beside themselves because the Bears, it's the first time they've been over 500 by more than a game in 4 years. And, you know, for Washington, Washington's been a grease fire for a quarter century. So all of a sudden, you have these two storied franchises that actually matter again. And it's great. It's great for the league. It's great for those fan bases. You know, it's funny because when you look at it, really, Chicago's probably a little bit more of a complete team right now. Better weapons, better defense. But Daniels is electrifying. I mean, you watch that kid play. And you know, every once in a while, a rookie gets off to a hot start, and you watch the kid, and you're like, yeah, all right, he's off to a hot start, but I don't know. You watch that kid, he can play. That guy can just flat out play the game of football. He, as long as he stays healthy, he's the answer. The guy Washington's been waiting for forever. I'm excited to watch that game. Come the late window Sunday. That on Chiefs Raiders. That'll be a fun little window to watch.
I asked you this last week. Are you worried about San Francisco? Because I know everybody, oh, look at the talent that they have. I mean, we are almost halfway through the NFL season. The Niners are under 500. They don't have Christian McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk is out for the rest of the season. Yep. And Deebo Samuel just checked out of the hospital for pneumonia. If you are asking me right now, I do not think San Francisco makes the postseason. I think they are going to be on the outside looking in. What side of the coin are you on right now with the Niners?
Last week I wasn't concerned. This week I am because of the injuries. Ayuk now is gone for the year. Deebo, look, I thankfully checked out of the hospital. Like that's not nothing, man. I mean, you had pneumonia or flu in your lungs. Like, you're not just going to walk out of that and feel great tomorrow. I have no idea what's going on with McCaffrey. Nobody seems to. I've checked in with anybody I can think about checking in with, and nobody knows anything. So, you know, who knows? You know, there's this thought of like, well, he'll be back after the bye. Will he be? Why does everyone think? I mean, I don't know. He's going to be back. If he does come back, is he him? Is he 50% of him? You know, I still think that division is bad, and I could see them just scraping a 10-7 and finding a way. But yeah, look, I'm more worried than I was a week ago because without Ayuk and McCaffrey, you're starting to get to a point offensively where you're going to have to ask Purdy to do a lot more than he's had to do. And maybe he can do it, but maybe he can't.
Last couple questions here. Give me a team that you think is maybe better than their record. Give me a team that you think is, how in the world is that team 5-2 or 4-3? Which one of those teams are on either side?
So the team that I just can't fathom how they have the record they have in a positive way is Denver. I mean, has anyone watched Bo Nix? They can't throw a pass. It's unbelievable. Like there have been more than a few games this year where he has thrown for less than 50 yards at halftime. And not because he's thrown the ball five times. Like, you know, he's 4-15 for 38 yards and a pick, and they win. And I give it to their defense. Vance Joseph's done an amazing job. But if you look at their schedule, they play Carolina this week. They'll probably win. After that, it gets rough. Kansas City twice, Cincinnati, Baltimore. And on the flip side of that, the team I think is better than the record might indicate, this team I actually just mentioned, is Cincinnati. You know, the Bengals defensively, it's a wreck, but Anna Rumo's a great coordinator. I think he figures some of that out. And offensively, listen, Burrow's playing really good ball. They've got Chase. They've got Higgins. If that line can hold up at all and do anything at all, I think they're going to figure it out and get in the playoffs. And if they do, they're a really, really dangerous wild card team.
Matt, are you a pancake, a waffle, or a French toast guy?
I'm a pancake guy. Give me a buttermilk chocolate chip.
That is our guy, Matt Verderam, joining us on the show to update us on everything that is happening in the National Football League. You and I, we're always simpatico. I'm happy that you and I are on the same page about Cooper Kupp. When I saw that report earlier today, I'm thinking, he's 31 years old and he's broken down. Why in the world would you give a second-round pick for that player?
It just doesn't, like, square for me, and I know you got to go, but square for me, they wouldn't trade for Amari Cooper. And from the reporting that Nate Taylor, the Athletic, gave, who's a friend of yours and a friend of mine, does a hell of a job. The reporting was they didn't want to go over the age of 30 with the guy, which, knowing how the Chiefs think, I would imagine, without verifying, I would corroborate that. Like, they have a big thing about age 30. So you didn't want to go over age 30 for a guy making $1.2 million. But you're going to go for an older player with a bigger injury history and a bigger contract, and they want more for him? Why would you do – like, how does that make any sense? It doesn't, and I don't believe it.
That is our guy, Matt Verderam. Appreciate you, Matt.
You got it, Carrington.
Absolutely. That is Matt Verderam joining us on the show today. Always happy to get his thoughts. I'm with you. We'll play the Diana Rossini. It's just – I mean, everything he said there at the end, I mean, they wouldn't trade for Amari Cooper, but now they would for Cooper Kupp. It's just, the math ain't mathing, folks.
Cooper Kupp, Kansas City Chiefs. Is there a chance?
If the Rams are willing to take on the salary, I heard that they're willing to do. So they are definitely open to trading Cooper Kupp. So we'll see if they'll be able to get a deal done. I just don't think Kansas City has even enough money, even if the Rams were to take on some of that salary. That's been the problem and the reason why they haven't been able to go after a Davante Adams, an Amari Cooper, like we've seen other teams be aggressive with.
Rob, I want to ask you this question. I know you'll tell me the truth if I'm only thinking this because the player is white. Is it fair to say that Hunter Renfrow is just wide receiver Peyton Hillis? Because you remember Peyton Hillis back in 2010, he was really good. He had 270 carries, had almost 1,200 yards, and had 11 touchdowns. And then he played four more seasons after that, and his high was 587 yards. He came to Kansas City, and I'm guessing that some of you are very excited about adding Peyton Hillis to the team. Well, he had 85 carries for 309 yards and scored one touchdown. He was not very good in his time in Kansas City. I mean, Hunter Renfrow, a couple of years ago, he was really good. He had 128 targets, had almost 1,100 yards, nine touchdowns. I mean, since that, he had 330 yards, 255 yards, and he is currently out of the league. That sounds to me like Peyton Hillis. But I just want to know, maybe I'm only saying that because Hunter Renfrow's white.
I don't know if it's Peyton Hillis, but it's a problem a lot of fans fall into. I think it's actually more the Justin Ross problem. We saw him play really well at Clemson 10, 12 years ago. And then there was one really good season with the Raiders, albeit it's all because of volume. He got 130 targets. That's never happening again in his NFL career. And then he fell out of sight, out of mind, and fans just assume, hey, the guy I saw dominating at Clemson 9 years ago that had one good season in the league, he must still be good. But I think time has marched on for him. I think he's just whatever. There's a reason Hunter Renfrow is unemployed.
Yeah, I guess maybe in this, and it's vocal minority, so I'm not coming down too hard, is it's funny how, like, I don't know if people, like, can ever, like, just identify, like, man, that guy's just cooked. You know, it's just, it's over. Michael Thomas, it's just, it's over. Jarvis Landry, it's over. You had a great career. Jarvis Landry had a phenomenal career. Made a lot of money in this league, was a really productive player. He's done. Hunter Renfrow, you got to play in the NFL for 5 years. You made a little bit of money. Go find something else to do with your life. No, Hunter Renfrow is not coming in. He is not moving the needle for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, Rob, I would like to do a Carrington hypothetical button game, 913-586-7965. I will give you the genesis of it, but these are your two options, Rob. One option is the Chiefs take a big swing at wide receiver. They trade a first-round pick, and they go get either Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave. They swing big. They're all in for the 3-peat. Or they trade a third-round pick for Deontay Johnson. Which of those would you take? 913-586-7965. I'll tell you which one of those options I would take. I also want to get you guys' opinion. We'll play the Carrington hypothetical button game next. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. The question is simple. The decision is hard. It's time for the hypothetical button game on The Drive.
want to answer this text really quickly. I think this is a really good question. C-Dot, you keep saying that you think the Chiefs could get Deontay Johnson for a third, but what makes you so certain? Don't you think they would have done it by now if that was the cost? Carolina knows they have us over a barrel and are probably asking for a second. The reason I feel pretty confident that a third-round pick could get it done, I also think the third could also be a little bit too high, is, I mean, we just saw two players get traded for a third-round pick. Now, Davante Adams is a little bit different. It could be a second-round pick. I mean, since Deontay Johnson has been in the league, he got in the league in 2019. He has one 1,000-yard season. Over that same amount of time, Davante Adams has four. In one of those years, he had 997 yards. So almost every year since he has been in the league, Davante Adams has had 1,000 yards, and Amari Cooper has also had four 1,000-yard seasons during that time. If you are charging the same price for Deontay Johnson that was the going price for Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, then you're not trading him then to anybody. And that's fine. If Carolina just says, hey, we're not going to trade him, and we are going to roll the dice to see if we can re-sign this player in the offseason, then sure. I'm guessing that they're going to lose Deontay Johnson in the offseason, because if I'm a wide receiver, you want to know the team I'm not super interested in signing with? The team who doesn't know who their quarterback is. I'm probably not signing there in the offseason, and I'm going to weigh all of my options and see if there's a better payday out there. So I don't 100% know that Deontay Johnson is available for a third-round pick, but if you were telling me that he is worth a second-round pick, the last two receivers to get traded for what we thought was going to be a second-round pick, one was Diggs when he left Buffalo. The other is possibly Davante Adams. I like Deontay Johnson. He is a good player. He is not Stephon Diggs or Davante Adams. So a two is, that's what the Rams are asking for, Cooper Kupp, and he won Super Bowl MVP. I don't think that's what Deontay Johnson is worth. So that's why I feel confident saying that the Chiefs' third-round pick, and I think that might be the ceiling of what he is possibly worth. I think you could actually maybe get Deontay Johnson a little bit cheaper, but the fact that they have two third-round picks, if I'm one of those teams, I'm trying to make the Chiefs give up one of those additional third-round picks. Is that sound logic to you, Rob?
The logic is sound. I mean, and we presume that the Panthers, or the guy in the final year of the contract, is not going to be asking for 120 cents on the dollar. So, yeah, the logic, I agree, is very sound.
Text line 913-586-7965. So I'm asking this question. You guys can answer the question if you would like. Would you rather, if I tell you that the Chiefs are going to make a move, you can take a big swing and use your first round pick to go get Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson, whichever one you like? I think Garrett Wilson's the better of those two players. I don't think Garrett Wilson's available. I could see a scenario in which Chris Olave is available. Saints don't want to pay him the big money. They can go ahead and get a first round pick for him. They're going to draft a quarterback at the end of the season. They kind of want to start over. Like, you could convince me that Chris Olave could be had with a first round pick. The Jets, I just can't see them being all in and then in a week now making a decision that they're not all in. I just don't think Garrett Wilson's available, but it's a fun hypothetical. Or I tell you that the Chiefs take the, quote, safer route, and they trade a third-round pick for Deontay Johnson. Now, Rob, I'm going to guess that you actually don't want to trade either one of them because you hate parting with draft picks, because every draft pick could turn out to be Travis Kelce with the 97th overall pick. You guys know where I stand. I would make the trade for Deontay Johnson. I think he is the right intersection of cost and productivity. He is not too expensive where you are not, quote, mortgaging your future. I also think he's a guy that in the right system, in the right scheme, could be a legitimate, I don't want to say number one, but a high number two. I think he could be that in Kansas City's offense. I think he moves the needle. I'm not really sure too many of the other names that we could possibly throw out there. I'm not really sure if those guys move the needle as much as I think he does. So it is a cost that I am willing to pay for what I think right now is their biggest need. I know they have an injury at corner. You guys tell me to never worry about corner, that Spags is going to figure it out. So I'm going to let Spags figure out the defensive side, and let's try to get it where Pat's not throwing the ball to Sky Moore in a postseason game, and let's go try to get a couple more options.
So you're on the right path. I would trade nothing for players. I would hoard picks. I would be Sam Presti if I was in charge of the NFL. Like, that's an NBA move for you. The NBA's back tonight. I would have all the picks in the world. But of those two options, I'm with you. Trade for Deontay Johnson. You said it perfectly. Diontae Johnson is the perfect intersection of price and productivity. A third rounder for him, I'm cool with. I'm even cool with you sending a third rounder on him. You can get him on a reasonably cheap contract in the offseason, and now you could get him for multiple years of control because I don't think Diontae Johnson is going to break the bank this offseason. He might not be Hollywood Brown cheap, but he's probably closer to Hollywood Brown than he is Tyreek Hill this offseason. So that's the obvious play. Also, and I know Speck said it earlier when Speck says, he said, quote, I don't know why you want to keep pick 31 or 32. That's a lottery ticket. I hate when people say that because it's not a lottery ticket. It's 5 years of cost control. Xavier Worthy might not ever be a star. He might not ever be Chris Olave. But you know what he is? Cheap. For 5 years. And that 5 years of cheapness gives you flexibility to sign other players. You don't know why Karloftis and McDuffie are probably getting locked up long term by this organization? Because they made good first round picks and they're financially strong because they keep their first round picks. So no on Olave, no on Wilson, although I agree with you, I don't think Wilson's actually available. No on those two for a first and a third. No to those two on the impending mega deal. Yes to Diontae Johnson. You can hit a double without swinging for the fences. That's what Diontae Johnson is.
I want to play for you guys what kind of gave us this idea. So Spectre recorded this for us. Speck wants the Chiefs to be all in.
Going out and getting a bona fide number one wide receiver for a first round draft pick is okay. It's okay to give up assets for known commodities. Think about who the Chiefs had options at number 31. Or number 32 the last year, 2 years in the draft. You're telling me you'd rather have that lottery ticket than a known commodity and a number one wide receiver to pair with Patrick Mahomes? I think you're wrong. And I understand that both guys are in year three and you're going to have to pay them in the next 18 to 24 months. And maybe that's getting rid of Trey Smith or George Karloftis. But you know what? I get a number one wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes who's 24 years old. Sign me up every day of the week for a first and third round pick for not only Garrett Wilson, but Chris Olave. Either one works for me. I'm totally fine with taking a swing on either guy.
We can talk more about this coming up on the other side, and I know we're up against a break. I'm surprised that Spectre would want to add the contract that either one of those individuals would have. Like, I'm reading the text line, and a lot of you are, we haven't always hit on those first round picks, even though Trent McDuffie was a hit on a first round pick and George Karloftis was a hit on a first round pick. So I kind of feel like they have hit on first round picks, but I get it. Sometimes the Chiefs have missed on first round picks. They might have missed on Felix Onyedike. They missed on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You also have hit on picks. So it's that's where I disagree. Like, it is kind of a lotto ticket. It is a 50-50 dice roll, whatever you want to say. I don't know what about the Chiefs makes us think that they are going to make a trade that then also ties them into a massive contract as well with where they are. That was fine when you made the Frank Clark trade. Your quarterback was on a rookie contract and you could afford to gamble a little bit because you had no Super Bowls at that moment and you were trying to get there. Now that we've seen the Chiefs do it with more cost-controlled options at wide receiver, I now don't think because of a couple of injuries they are going to pull the thread and now trade a first-round pick and also sign themselves up for a massive contract. If they wanted to do that, why didn't they do that over the course of the offseason when they needed a wide receiver back in March 2 and they got Hollywood Brown on a one-year deal? The Chiefs just have shown us over the course of the last three offseasons, they're just not spending big-time dollars at wide receiver. So now I don't see them making a big-time trade and paying Chris Olave $30 million a year. Patrick Mahomes coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the most latest report from Diana Rossini. And if you missed our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, we'll replay it for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We've been talking about wide receiver. So Spectre said, I have a take for you guys. And I was like, all right, we'll go record it. Let's not just talk about it in the office. Let's bring it to the people. This is what the boss man, Steven Spectre, had to say. He's willing to go all in on wide receiver.
going out and getting a bona fide number one wide receiver for a first-round draft pick is okay. It's okay to give up assets for known commodities. Think about who the Chiefs had options at number 31 or number 32 the last year, 2 years in the draft. You're telling me you'd rather have that lottery ticket than a known commodity and a number one wide receiver to pair with Patrick Mahomes? I think you're wrong. And I understand that both guys are in year three and you're going to have to pay them in the next 18 to 24 months. And maybe that's getting rid of Trey Smith or George Karlaftis. But you know what? I get a number one wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes, who's 24 years old. Sign me up every day of the week for a first and third round pick for not only Garrett Wilson, but Chris Olave. Either one works for me. I'm totally fine with taking a swing on either guy.
This is where I disagree with Spector and why I am more on the trade the mid-round pick for a Deontay Johnson type. I rather have George Karlaftis on my team than have Chris Olave. I rather have Trent McDuffie on my team than Chris Olave. So if you were telling me that those are the two paths, now I like Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson could be a really good receiver in a great situation. I don't think he has ever been in a great situation since he has been in the National Football League. So if you were telling me that this trade comes at the expense of us being able to, like the Chiefs as an organization, being able to keep George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie, then I am not interested in signing that player to a deal. I also don't think that the Chiefs, if you look at the wide receiver contracts and where the position is going over the course of the last couple of years with the financial aspect of it, I don't think that this is a market that the Chiefs are ready to play in. I mean, they've had opportunities to play in this market. If the Chiefs really wanted to, over the course of the last couple of off seasons, go get a big time, big name wide receiver, there's been a bunch of them available over the course of the last couple of seasons. Right? There's been a bunch of them available. I just don't think the Chiefs, it is clear what the Chiefs will spend money on and what they won't spend money on. Right? Like, I will never say the Chiefs are cheap. You can't really be cheap in the National Football League. There's a ceiling and a floor. But I think we all know somebody, they will not spend money on thing X, but they will spend money on thing Y. Sure, maybe they will not go out and buy all the designer clothes, but you know what? They will spend the money on a trip or an experience. The Chiefs spend money on offensive and defensive line. They do not spend big-time resources, at least not right now, on skill position players. They paid Travis Kelce, and that's kind of been it. They've had chances to pay wide receivers. They have not really paid wide receivers over the course of the last couple of years. They have gone relatively cheap at running back. There is not a team that is currently spending, I would say, less on running back than what the Chiefs are. Their starting running back was a seventh round pick. They got a guy who was unemployed a month ago. They brought back Clyde Edwards-Helaire when not many other teams in the National Football League want him, and Carson Steele was undrafted. There's things they will spend money for. They'll give Chris Jones $116 million, but why do we think that they're going to go out and now give Chris Olave Calvin Ridley's contract? They had a chance to sign Calvin Ridley. He signed this past offseason. Any team in the league could have signed Calvin Ridley. He signed for 4 years, $92 million. I just don't think that's the market that the Chiefs want to play in at this present time. So I'm seeing the text line, hey, why don't the Chiefs go trade for Jaylen Waddle? Because I don't think they're willing to give Jaylen Waddle $28 million next year. It's not just the draft pick compensation. You also have to assume the contract of that player. Jaylen Waddle just signed that contract 4 or 5 months ago. If the Chiefs wanted to go get Jaylen Waddle, why didn't they go get Calvin Ridley when they could have signed Calvin Ridley, who got the almost exact same contract, and they didn't have to put any draft pick compensation by it? So my stance on this more is not my, hey, what's the best case scenario pie in the sky? I'm trying to be realistic about what we know the Chiefs will and what they won't do. They're not trading for Tyreek Hill. They had a chance to re-sign Tyreek Hill, and they traded him for those draft picks. They're not now giving those picks back to Miami to now give Tyreek Hill the money that they didn't want to give to him a couple of years ago. Now he's older. They're not. No. You know what the Chiefs are going to do? They're going to spend a fifth through third round pick for somebody. It's not going to light the world on fire, but they will trade for a good player that has a couple of red flags, a couple of question marks. Deontay Johnson is not the perfect prospect. This will be Deontay Johnson's third team in 3.5 years. He is not perfect by any means. But I think he's a productive player that can help this team, that fills a role. And if you're looking for somebody to play Rice for the next 7-8 months, I think he can actually fill that role pretty well. I think he can have a really good rest of the season and earn himself a lot of money in the process, money that he is not earning himself playing with Bryce Young and or Andy Dalton.
I also think, and you can attest this, there's a lot of this on the text line. Guys, that's been their status quo forever. They're going to change when going for a three-peat. I do not believe Brett Veach, Andy Reid, Clark Hunt, and co. are changing their philosophy because of a three-peat.
Really quick, they were going for a three-peat in March, right?
And this was their same philosophy. You grabbed the car and you took me right down the road.
This
is their philosophy. This is what they do.
Like, you guys are saying they got to be all in for a three-peat, and I get it, right? Like, I'm 100% fine. You got to be all in on a three-peat. They were all in on a three-peat over the free agency period. All they signed was Hollywood Brown. That's all they got. All these wide receivers were available. That's all they could have got. So, all of the same things, we all agree. Be aggressive. Go for it. You got a chance to make history. You got a chance to do all those things. They had a wide receiver need based on last season. They signed Hollywood Brown to a 1-year veteran deal, and they got Xavier Worthy, and they hope for the best. And now, I mean, you crapped out, unfortunately. You made a move. That move never happened because the guy got hurt so quickly. I'm not mad at the Chiefs for going out and getting Hollywood Brown. I think it was great value at the time, but now you kind of got to deviate from course. So that's why I'm happy with them trading a third-round pick.
And I don't think the Chiefs are a panic move type of team. Don't get me wrong. Over at 1-800 Drive right now, I have no doubt that they are looking at their wide receiver room and saying, well, this isn't enough. Because it's not. I mean, anyone with eyes can tell you it's not enough. It's just a fact. But I don't think they're looking at their wide receiver room saying, this isn't enough. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I got to panic. You make the airport analogy with headphones all the time, and it's so relevant here. The Chiefs are now at the airport, and they've lost their headphones or they've broken them. I don't think they are paying a premium for headphones just because they lost theirs. I think they're willing to take the flight without headphones before they're willing to spend $500 on headphones.
How long's the flight? That's always a valuable question here.
I mean,
where are we flying to? Are we flying to Hawaii with no headphones, or are we flying to Denver with no headphones? If we're flying to Denver with no headphones, I'm okay.
I mean, 8 games, I think they're flying from Kansas City to Miami with no headphones. There's a little length there, but it's not, oh, God.
This plane got Wi-Fi on it? Because if the plane got Wi-Fi, we maybe can make it for the trip from Kansas City to Miami with no headphones. We maybe can make it. But if we fly to Hawaii with no headphones, I gotta stop here over this little kiosk. Sure, I'm spending $40 on these Skull Candy headphones, but damn it, I gotta listen to this podcast. I can't just sit here this whole time and just be sitting here in silence. I can't watch a movie. I can't do anything over the course of this play. I don't have any headphones. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day. Is Cooper Kupp a possibility for the Kansas City Chiefs? And we had a chance to catch up with Patrick Mahomes. We'll play that conversation for you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.